This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Kelly Anisa and T. Xiao Ik. Before the break, we were talking about a study on eradicating child labor in the cocoa industry. And now in relation to our second story, we've got a poll going on Twitter.
Yes, we asked which of the following employment reforms are most pressing. And 58% of you have chosen housing and living allowances, followed by 25% who chose medical benefits, 10% who chose parental leave, and only 6% who chose disability benefits. So, yeah, housing and living allowances coming up top right now. If you want to weigh in or send us your thoughts on other labor reforms which you think we've not listed out, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so 58 unions affiliated with the Malaysian Trades Union Congress, or MTUC, as well as some NGOs have proposed for a cost of living allowance of 300 ringgit, 98-day maternity leave, and a 7-day paternity leave, along with 30-day paid leave to perform the Hajj, and housing allowances. You know, these are just some of the things that they are proposing for when it comes to employers. Mm-hmm. These are among the labour reforms. So the proposals are among those submitted to the government, which is in the process of reviewing three key labour laws as promised by Pakatan Harapan in the general election manifesto last year. So the three laws that will be reviewed are the Employment Act 1955, the Industrial Relations Act 1967, and the Trade Union Act 1959.
So according to Free Malaysia Today, the MTUC has asked the National Labour Action Council to ensure that the government and employers give utmost importance to job security as well as decent work. Mm. So the keeping that in mind, the proposals include extending the coverage of the Employment Act to workers earning up to 10,000 ringgit a month, and maternity leave to be raised from 60 days to 98 days, as well as providing paternity leave of 7 days.
And the proposals include to include domestic workers and foreign workers under the Employment Act. That would be quite a game changer, actually. A 15-minute break to be provided for every 2 hours of work to enable workers to do some light stretching exercises to improve their health and reduce medical costs.
Will people take that break to do that, or will they take naps?
15 minutes.
Not talking about myself here.
You could argue for the health benefits of naps. I don't know how they would regulate something like this, though.
Yeah. I mean, adding on to that, they are also proposing for the cost of medical examination, consultation, and all treatments to be borne by the employer. Childcare facilities, where employers with more than 100 employees should provide a childcare centre or pay allowance of 300 ringgit as childcare subsidy for children aged 7 and below, up to a maximum of 5 children.
I'm all for that.
They are also advocating for a safe and hygienic room for lactating mothers, an increased sick leave to 30 days from the current 15, and a 60-day hospitalisation, irrespective of the number of years served. They are also asking for unused sick leave permitted to be used for hospital stays in addition to the 60-day hospital benefit. They're also looking at termination benefits of a minimum of 2 months' salary for every year of service, irrespective of the number of years of service, and of course 30-day paid leave for all Muslim workers to perform the Hajj, and a housing allowance of 300 ringgit for workers in urban areas, or a subsidy on housing loan interest payments for those earning less than 10,000 ringgit a month. So then there's also the mandatory union membership for all workers.
Yeah. Quite a long list of proposed reforms there.
Yeah. And some very important ones, I think.
Yes.
So I spoke to S. Somasundram. He is the vice president of MTUC. We spoke earlier today and he gave me a breakdown on the matter. In their current forms, how does legislation around labour compare to that of more developed nations? You know, what are our laws lacking?
We are the worst off as maternity leave. We worse off, like we take Singapore, it is 16 weeks paid leave, paid by the government or some structural organization. You move on to Indonesia, they have 90 days. And they have one unique things for our sisters. Those who have period monthly, by legally, they have 2 days leave. That's the only one of the few countries having that. So there's 24 days plus 90 days. It's more than the 14 weeks. Lah. And you move on to Vietnam. They have 3 to 6 months. The same for China. We are the only country in the ASEAN region which has 60 days paid leave. So we can very clearly say that we are the worst off. And then all these employers who say cost of doing business is very expensive in Malaysia, if we introduce this 98 days, which is 14 weeks following ILO convention, then they're bluffing. Because all the ASEAN countries are already paying, including ex-communist countries. Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, even Mongolia for the matter. Working hours, Singapore is 44. Indonesia is 40. Brunei is 44. China, of all the things, 40 hours. Is it? Leave the three, Laos, Cambodia, and so on, they're working 48. But all other countries are either working 40, 44. Thailand, they have 48 for certain industries. But those with like industries, they have 42 hours. So that paper was presented, and we have given all these figures through the 58 unions who are affiliates of MTUC, all these figures. And in our paper, which we only touched on the 25th or 24th, I'm a bit confused. We only touched on two important issues, working hours and maternity leave.
You know, and one of the reforms that has been, you know, proposed for is an extended paternity leave for fathers. So the Malaysian Employers Federation have, you know, come out to say that this this extended paternity leave, the 3-day paternity leave being considered by the government, you know, will have economic consequences for employers. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this? What would you say to those that question the employer's ability to afford some of these said reforms?
As per the Constitution, Part 8 and Part 10 of the Constitution, no person, not citizens, no person must be discriminated. Why can the government provide the maternity leave for the government servants, and now they said they are considering you know, the 3 days is too high and all? What is this? You know, they want us to be slaves. How come the government can get, we don't get, and they are not following the? Anybody can go for a declaration from the private sector and say this is discriminatory. Just because we are in the private sector, we are discriminated. That's my answer.
That was S. Somasundram. He is the vice president of MTUC. So I also spoke to a representative from the Malaysian Employers Federation, and that is Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan. He is the executive director of the MEF, and I asked him about his thoughts on these proposed reforms. You know, what are your thoughts on the proposed reforms? You know, what do you think will impact employers the most?
Of course, the proposal as a whole is, we will, of course, have very serious cost implication on the employers if they are all implemented. And I would say that right now it is not the time for us to actually implement policies that will add cost of doing business, because most employers currently are not doing well, and would be very difficult for them to really absorb the cost arising from the proposed review of the labor laws. So say, for example, when you're talking about increasing the paid leave of all employees, and also increasing the maternity leave and also paternity leave, and also introducing a concept of giving more sick leave, those kind of things will definitely impact the cost of employment. And also will, of course, reduce the available number of working days. And that will, of course, have a direct impact on productivity of the company, and also, of course, will impact the company's competitiveness.
So are none of these proposed reforms feasible? Or do you think that there are some of them that you know, employers could work with?
You know, I would say that as a whole, the proposed reform are basically going to be negative and does not have actually positive impact on productivity. But of course, I'm not saying that employers are not willing to actually look at how we can actually give better income to the employees. Yes, we are all for that in the sense that if we are able to basically link the incentive to productivity increases, why not? And of course, in that kind of situation, the cost arising from the sharing of the productivity increases will not be basically be added on to the cost of doing business in that sense, because the additional costs are all being channeled to productivity increases. So in that sense, I would say that if we are able to give more pay based on productivity incentive, that I would say the way that we as employers and also the union side should be looking at how we can address this issue, so at the end of the day, the employees will be able to improve their total income rather than trying to actually giving or getting more pay and rising from additional leave to be given to the employees that will eventually actually make the employers suffer in terms of increased costs.
That was Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan. He is the executive director of the MEF. So, you know, I'm just curious, looking at the reforms that they've put forward, some of these proposed reforms, what do you guys, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I am particularly intrigued at the idea, and I'm not sure why, because I don't have children and I'm not married, but I think that the not just extending the maternity leave, but the fact that paternity leave is going to be given more importance is a really good step in, because I really believe that families need both the fathers and the mothers to be involved in this process.
Although the quantum, you know, it's still very unbalanced.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's great if we can extend the maternity leave to that 98 days, but if your paternity leave, your proposed paternity leave is only 1 week out of those 98 days.
That's right.
Or 7 days out of the 98. To be honest, I've been in that situation. 7 days will fly by. You spend half of that still in the hospital waiting to be discharged. There's nothing. And by the time you get home, that's when like everything comes crashing down on you. That's when you most need your partner around to help. 7 days, a drop in the ocean, to be honest. And you hear of countries like Scandinavia, Scandinavian countries where I think paternity leave is equivalent to maternity leave, if I'm not mistaken. I really could be wrong here. But just looking at that, the equality of the role.
Right? I've even heard of, and again, I can't remember which country exactly, but that there are Scandinavian countries that do a sort of, every couple who are parents are entitled to a shared amount of leave. They can decide who is taking how much of that, which I think is a very egalitarian way of deciding.
Yeah, I think that's New Zealand, actually. And I think they call it parental leave. They no longer refer to it as maternity. Or paternity leave.
Yeah, because there may be some families where the father may be the primary caregiver.
Kelly, you were, I think, particularly happy with the increasing of the salary bracket that labour laws applied for, right?
Yeah, so they're increasing it to 10,000 ringgit. So I think before this, it only covered those who earn 2,000 ringgit or less, which I think is such a small amount because you only cover, say, fresh graduates. But then what happens once you move up that ladder? You can't lean on these unions for support if anything goes wrong. You are supposed to only rely on your company, which I think it's not enough, I think, for employers to just...
And mistreatment of workers happens, you know, even when you start earning more money, right?
And the assumption being that just because you earn 3,000 versus 2,500, suddenly you don't need that kind of support anymore.
That's right.
And again, then again, these laws were enacted, I think, years ago, where that 2,000 ringgit was, you know, it covered a lot more people than just fresh graduates like they do today.
Yeah, so a lot of our listeners or a lot of you on Twitter seem to be intrigued by the proposed housing and living allowances. So 58% of you have voted that that would be the most pressing reform you're looking forward to. And Malasaya also commented to say he or she is surprised that many have chosen housing allowance over medical benefits. Perhaps our society is still young and in good shape. I was thinking about that. And it perhaps it's also because many medium to large companies already provide some form of medical benefits.
Yes.
And so it may not be deemed as a pressing reform. There's some sort of baseline there already. And in terms of, over at WhatsApp, Ms. Goh has commented to choose disability benefits. And she's got a good point here. Disability is not a choice. Parenting is. If you choose to be a parent, you don't expect other people to reform around you. She added that people only look at disability when the disability is visible, but there are many people who live with non-visible disabilities and nobody pays attention to them. You know, so, and related to employment, there are a lot of hidden work hazards that could lead to conditions that could cause disabilities. You know, things like the kinds of office equipment that you use or having to carry heavy loads without supplying proper safety gear to employees. So disability benefits. Very few of you have voted for that.
I would suspect possibly because something that doesn't affect the majority of people who have taken the poll, perhaps. But yes, definitely, I think something that is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I can also understand why a lot of people voted for housing and living allowances, because for most people, they do have to move out and live in the city, and that does cost a lot. So I can understand why most people might have, you know, why they chose that.
And in fact, the proposed reform with regard to the housing allowance is going to be based, I mean, they are proposing that it should be based on the cost of living in cities.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yes, that is, that's probably the best way to do it.
Seems fair. And also, what I know, Datuk Shamsuddin Baradhan did mention a few times, he did say in the recording earlier about productivity among employees. So his reasoning was that some of this may decrease productivity. So I don't know. I think for me, at least, I haven't been working for a very long time, but I do think that happy employees or employees that are well taken care of can also, you know, it can also produce productive employees. I don't think you have to choose one or the other in instances like this.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Kelly. I think almost the opposite is true, that when you don't feel like your company is taking care of you, then you're less motivated to give the company your best.
Yeah, because how do you measure productivity is not just by
showing
bodies,
up, right?
Bodies in chairs at the workplace. There's such a thing as absenteeism, as presentism as well, I'm sorry, where you could be present at work, but you are either feeling unwell or unmotivated and not being productive. So, and all of that is related to a whole host of environmental factors that could be taken care of with better employment benefits.
Exactly.
And so tune in to tomorrow's show on Live and Learn. We are talking about parental rights in the workplace with Tan Mei Lee. She is a board member of the Women's Aid Organization, and Derek Toh, he is the founder of WOP. So that is on Live and Learn tomorrow at 3 p.m.
So what about a final check-in on our social media poll?
Yeah, we're still at housing and living allowances are receiving the top
definitely a
vote.
Clear winner there.
Yeah. So just to recap, we were asking which of the following employment reforms are most pressing. So 59% voted for housing and living allowances, 25% for medical benefits, 10% for parental leave, and 6% for disability benefits.
So you can keep that conversation going by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We are also on Facebook you can check us out at BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you missed any part of our show today, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I will be speaking to director Esther Liu and actor Renessa Thiagraja about their theatre production called Dust, which deals with death and grief. But we'll leave you now with Working for a Living by Huey Lewis and the news on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.